Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis from the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation online at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill of Tracy. Today is July 2, 2017, or is the ninth day of the fourth month, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, How Great Thou Art. Know Yah, and thy awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thou hast made. I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, the power throughout the universe. Saith my soul, we are to be. How great thou art, how great thou art. And saith my soul, we are to be. How great thou art, how great thou art. And through the wood and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from the lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and sings my soul, to be. How great thou art, how great thou art, and sings my soul, to be. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that yon sun not failing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly carried. Even in God, he take away my sin. This is my soul, to be. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, to be. How great thou art, great thou art. When Yahshua shall come with the shout of acclamation and take me home, for joy shall fill my heart, and I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim my how great thou art. Then sings my soul, not to be. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, out to thee. How great thou art, how great thou shall come with the shout of acclamation. hand and take me home. Put yourself to my heart, and I shall bow in your adoration and then proclaim, my King, how great thou art. And he says, my soul, my Savior, King, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And says, my soul, my Savior, King, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Defile. We're going to continue on. This is number 11. This is in Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to start with the first verse again in Ezekiel 37. But this is going to be a little review from our last study. But it's very good. The parable of the dry bones. For the hand of the Yahweh was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and called me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh Elohim, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Yahweh Elohim, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. Okay, so now it says, there in verse 11, I'll review that again. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, what does it mean, the whole house of Israel? It means that they have to be resurrected. These are the righteous people of the house of Israel that are identified since coming out of Egypt in 1500 B.C., about. This goes back 3,500 years. And these here righteous Israelites are resurrected. And they join the living Israelites. And that means that they join the 144,000 spiritual Israelites that have been the first fruits harvest that come out of the Adventist Church. And so they join them. Okay, so now when you go back to chapter 36, verse 10, it says, verse 9. Let's do verse 9. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. This is talking about the living Israelites in the land of Israel here in these last days. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the way shall be builded. Do you realize that when he resurrects this whole house of Israel, he's going to have millions of people in the land of Israel, and it's not going to take nothing for them to build all these cities that was once promised, that used to be inhabited years ago, centuries ago. These millions of people are going to join. Well, they got to have a place to live. They don't have no place to live. But the thing is, Heavenly Father is going to prepare a land for them, though. It's going to become a great plain. It says right there in Zechariah 14, after that battle takes place of Armageddon, or I call it the Battle of Armageddon. Other people call it something else, but it's actually the Battle of Armageddon. And I will multiply upon you, this is Ezekiel 36:11, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit, and I will sit of you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. So how is he going to fulfill that promise if he doesn't resurrect those people that were in the beginning with this prophecy that laid down the pipe? So we go back to Ezekiel 37 and we read that verse 13. And ye shall know that I am the Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, okay, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and performed it, said Yahweh. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. Okay. So now this Joseph represents the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because the Seventh-day Adventist Church are from the north, here in this country. They're represented by the bear, and the symbol of the bear. And so Joseph, in the type, had his headquarters. When he came out of Egypt, he had his headquarters there in, no, he didn't come out of Egypt. His bones came out of Egypt, but when his people, his sons came out of Egypt, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they came out and became leaders of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, they took their place in the northern part of Israel. And this is where the Adventists get their recognition as being descendants of those 10 tribes of Joseph. So it says, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim. Okay, so Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, Seventh-day Adventist, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. First it says for Judah. It says, take you one stick and write upon it for Judah. Judah, the lawgiver, the two tribes in the south, line of the tribe of Judah, and you put those two together. So in other words, 144,000, when they come forth, they unite the whole house of Israel together. The 144,000 represents the 12 tribes put together once again. And these 12 tribes they were formed in the Adventist Church. And you go to Ezekiel chapter 4 prophecy, for that prophecy, where it says the 10 tribes had a 390-year prophecy during Ezekiel 4, from 1500 to 1890, and the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, had a prophecy there from 1890 to 1930, and they were both prophecies in the Adventist Church being fulfilled. So, it says Ezekiel 37, verse 17, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? So they're going to ask this antitypical prophet that has the inspiration to unite the whole house of Israel together. And that prophet is antitypical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. Say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand, before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they go, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant. And we know the story about Jacob. He subscribed a deed to that land, and he bought it. Of wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. So, this David is antitypical. David's going to emerge as their prince forever. But you know, what if the first David be resurrected? What if he be resurrected? And what if he was to show up there? And the two Davids joined together, the two Davids. And joined together at the same time in that land. And you know what? That's a very unique possibility, that you're going to have the original David. Because we have a prophecy there in Hosea. I believe it's Hosea 3:5. After which shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua their Savior, or their King, and David their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Well, we know Yahshua is going to be here, fulfilling his role in the Antitype. And we know that David's going to be resurrected somewhere. And what if this is a unique possibility that this here David of old is going to take his place with Yahshua that he met back there in the Psalms, way back there, about 1000 B.C. 500 years after the Exodus coming out of Egypt for the first time. You know what? Truth is stranger than fiction. And I'm going to tell you something, Jeremiah 33:3. Moreover, I said verse 1. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Yahweh, the maker thereof, the Yahweh that formed it, to establish it, the Yahweh is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, you know, when you read these prophecies, and it just says David, it didn't say anatypical David, it just said David. But we know that Yahweh's hand is not short. And so if we believe in the prophecies, and it says there in Malachi 4, it says, verse 5, it says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. It didn't say antitypical Elijah. He just said, I'll send you Elijah. Well, the only one that they were familiar with in the Old Testament was Elijah the Tishbite. They didn't know anything about John the Baptist being on the scene, that playing the role of antitypical Elijah. They didn't know that. As far as they're concerned, they were looking for the Elijah the Tishbite that went into heaven and never tasted death. And they didn't know any different. But then when Yahshua come on the scene in the New Testament, and there in the book of John, and he told the disciples, he said, well, the Pharisees, the disciples were coming to Yahshua, and they said, the Pharisees say that Elijah's got first come to restore all things. And Yahshua gave the first clue right then and there about Elijah truly has come, and they perceived it not. And they rejected him and did whatsoever they wanted to him. And it said the disciple perceived he was talking about John the Baptist. So, yes, he has a type and an antitype for every situation. Well, we have three beginnings and three endings of this world. We have the beginning with Adam, the first day of creation, and Adam is created on the sixth day of creation, so we have the beginning there. And then we have the beginning when Noah came out of the ark after the flood, when the antediluvian world came to an end with Noah and his preaching of 120 years. They had 120 years to come to their end. And at the end of the 120 years, the antediluvian world came to an end. That was the end of the world. And I guarantee you, those people that were destroyed in the flood certainly believed it. They believed it while they were still alive, that this is the end of the world. And it was the end of the world for them. Their world came to an end abruptly. What about at the cross when Yahshua came and brought the Old Testament period to a close with his death on the cross? Whether they liked it or not, whether they wanted it or not, whether they wanted to believe it or not, their world came to an end. The second coming to an end. Well, we got a prophesied end of the world again. But the thing is, when the world came to an end in Noah's day, Noah and his family, they survived the end of the world in their day. And they started a new beginning. And they started a new beginning, and their world lasted until the cross. Their world lasted for 2,500 years. Adam's world only lasted 1,500 years. But Noah's world, new world, It lasted for 2,500 years. And now this last world that Yahshua set up with the disciples, this lasted for 3,000 years now. So we're looking at a third end of this world. But yet, we have to, and the end of this world, this third end, which is the final end, is the end for the wicked. Every time the world came to an end, the righteous was left alive to continue it on. And so today, when this world comes to an end again, it only comes to an end for the wicked. And the Bible says in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end at the coming of the Yahshua. It's not going to be again. In other words, a total wipeout of all the wicked. So, become righteous, folks, and you don't have to worry about coming to your end with the wicked and forever lost. So he's going to have to resurrect all of these people that laid down the pipes and the prophecies. He's going to have to resurrect them all. And he's showing the prophecies where these people are going to appear again in the end time. Well, okay. For a brief analysis of this, let's turn to Matthew 8 and read 11. Let's see what we learn here. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, that the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here's the kingdom of heaven set up here on this earth in the last days. And it didn't say the kingdom in heaven. It didn't say the kingdom in heaven has come down and this is where they're going to join them. He just said in the kingdom of heaven. And if you put the article there, you say in the kingdom of the heaven. Okay. And so then you say in the kingdom of the heaven that has come down on this earth and resurrected Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of their kindred, and they have been brought as translated into the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1:13. Okay, so there you have it. So now we can go back to our reading there in Ezekiel 37 and get about a little bit more information on this. It says there in Ezekiel 37, I believe I finished that chapter, and I'm going to repeat though the last four verses, verse 25, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. See, this is where I am. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were resurrected and they were placed in the land of Israel. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. So this kingdom of heaven, of the heaven that came down and that resurrected all of these saints all through the ages, they're brought and translated into this kingdom of the heaven here set upon this earth in the land of Israel. And their children forever and ever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. So as this so happens, as John the Baptist was the servant that represented Elijah 2,000 years ago as the antitype of Elijah the Tishbite, so this Elijah David today is going to represent this David. Because this is going to be the surprise of all surprises upon the world whenever this happens. When Yahweh says, I'm going to get you fame in the last days, he said, I'm going to exalt you above all the nations. going to get you fame. People are going to know who you are and what you, and who you represent and what you represent. You represent the restoration of the kingdom of heaven on this earth. So in verse 26 it says, "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will praise them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." Ezekiel 38. "And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws. And I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them hand and sword, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, with them, all of them with shields and shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always raised. That it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall draw safety out of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, It shall also come to pass, that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unmorality. I will go to them that are at rest, that draw safety all of them, dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. Take a spoil and take a prey. To turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, and dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to gather away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, In that day when my people of Israel dwell in safety, shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy face out of the north, parts, thou and many people, with thee, all of them riding upon horses, and a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants and prophets, and of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. destroyeth the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Elohim. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh. Yahweh's judgment against Gog. Ezekiel 39, start with verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now I will turn thee back, and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and unto the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it. Speak to Yahweh Elohim. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly, and the owls, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Yahweh Elohim. This is the day whereon I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall sit on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the handstaves and the spears, and they shall burn them with the fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith Yahweh Elohim. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto God a place of grace in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall be, and there shall they bury God and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hanan God. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burning, as then that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be unto them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Yahweh Elohim. They shall sever out men of the continual employment, passing through the land, to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it after the end of 7 months shall be searched, and the passengers that pass through the land, and any seeth a man's bone, and shall he set up a sign by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hanan-god. And also the name of the city shall be Hamonah, or Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. Verse Verse 17, And thou, son of man, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Speak unto every feathered fowl, and to every beast of the field, Assemble yourselves, and come, gather yourselves on every side, to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice, for you even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel. That ye may eat flesh and drink blood, ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be drunk full, and drink blood till ye be drunken, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men and with all men of war, saith Yahweh. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Yahweh, the Elohim, from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore thus says Yahweh, Now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Yahweh the Elohim, which caused them to be led into the captivity among the heathen, that I have gathered them into their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith Yahweh Elohim. Now in Ezekiel chapter 40, we're looking at a whole new picture of a new temple. It's a vision that Ezekiel had of a new temple. And so we're just going to read chapter 40, verse 1. It said, In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Yahweh was upon me and brought me thither. And the visions of Yahweh brought he me into the land of Israel, and set me upon a very high mountain, which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold, with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and sit thine heart upon all that I will show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither, declare all that thou seest unto the house of Israel. And this is a Latter-day prophecy for the spiritual Israel of today, in this 12th hour that we're in now. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a band breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. Then came he unto the gate which looked toward the east, and went up the stairs thereof, and measured the threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed broad, and the other threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed broad, And every little chamber was 1 reed long and 1 reed broad. And between the little chambers were 5 cubits, and the threshold of the gate by the porch within was 1 reed. And for he measured also the porch of the gate within 1 reed. Then measured he the porch of the gate 8 cubits, and the post thereof 2 cubits, and the porch of the gate was inward. And the little chambers of the gate eastward were 3 on this side, and 3 on that side. They 3 were of 1 measure, and the post had 1 measure on this side and on that side. And he measured the breadth of the entry of the gate 10 cubits, and the length of the gate 13 cubits. The space also before the little chambers was 1 cubit on this side, and the space was 1 cubit on that side, and the little chambers were 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. He measured then the gate from the roof of 1 little chamber to the roof of the other. The breadth was 25 cubits, door against door. He made also posts of 3 cubits, 3 score cubits, even unto the post of the court round about the gate. And from the face of the gate of the entrance unto the face of the porch of the inner gate for 50 cubits, and there were narrow windows to the little chamber, and to their post within the gate, round about, and likewise to the arches and windows, the round about inward, and upon each post were 3 or palm trees. Then brought he me into the outward court, and lo, there were chambers and a pavement made for the court round about. 30 chambers were upon the pavement. And the pavement by the side of the gates over against the length of the gates was the lower pavement. Then he measured the breadth from the forefront of the lower gate unto the forefront of the inner court without, and 100 cubits eastward and northward. And the gate of the outward court that looked toward the north, he measured the length thereof and the breadth thereof. And the little chambers thereof were 3 on this side and 3 on that side. And the posts thereof and the arches thereof were after the measure of the first gate. The length thereof was 50 cubits, and the breadth 25 cubits. And their windows and their arches and their palm trees were after the measure of the gate that looketh toward the east. They went up unto it by 7 steps, and the arches thereof were before them. And the gate of the inner court was over against the gate toward the north and toward the east. And he measured from gate to gate and 100 cubits. After that he brought me toward the south, and brought me a gate toward the south, and he measured the post thereof and the arches thereof according unto these measures. And there were windows in it, and in the arches thereof round about, like those windows, the length is 50 cubits, and the breadth 25 cubits. And there were 7 steps to go up to under it. And the arches thereof were before them, and it had palm trees, one on this side and another on that side, upon the post thereof. And there was a gate in the inner court toward the south, and he measured from gate to gate toward the south and 100 cubits. And he brought me to the inner court by the south gate, and he measured the south gate according unto these measures. And the little chambers thereof, and the posts thereof, and the arches thereof, according unto these measures. And there were windows in it, and in the arches thereof round about it. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits broad, and the arches round about were 25 cubits long and 5 cubits broad, and the arches thereof were toward the outer court, and palm trees were upon the post thereof, and it going up unto it had 8 steps. And he brought me into the inner court toward the east, and he measured the gate according unto these measures. And the little chambers thereof, and the posts thereof, and the arches thereof were according unto these measures. And there were windows therein, and in the arches thereof round about it was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits broad. And the arches thereof were toward the outward court, and palm trees were up on the post thereof on this side. And on that side, and the going up unto it had 8 steps. And he brought me to the north gate and measured it according to these measures. The little chambers thereof, the posts thereof, and the arches thereof, and the windows on it round about the length was 50 cubits, and the breadth 25 cubits. And the posts thereof were toward the other court, and palm trees were upon the post thereof on this side and on that side, and the going up on it had 8 steps, and the chambers and the entries thereof were by the post of the gate, where they washed the burnt offering, and in the porch of the gate were 2 tables on this side, and 2 tables on that side, to lay thereon the burnt offering and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and at the side without, as one goeth up to the entry of the north gate, were 2 tables. And on the other side, which was at the porch of the gate, were 2 tables. 4 tables were on this side, and 4 tables on that side. By the side of the gate, 8 tables were upon, as through the sacrifices. And the 4 tables were of hewn stone for the burnt offering, of a cubit and a half long, and a cubit and a half broad, and 1 cubit high, whereupon also they laid the instruments wherewith they slew the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And within were hooks and hand abroad, fastened round about, and upon the tables were the flesh of the offering. And without the inner gate were the chambers of the singers in the inner court, which was at the side of the north gate. Now we had singers there. And their prospect was toward the south, one at the side of the east gate, having the prospect toward the north. And he said unto me, this chamber, whose prospect is toward the south, is for the priest that keepeth the charge of the house. And the chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok among the sons of Levi, which shall come near to the Yahweh to minister unto him. So he measured the court, and 100 cubits long, and 100 cubits broad, 4 square, and the altar that was before the house, and he brought me to the porch of the house, and measured each post of the porch 5 cubits on this side, and 5 cubits on that side, and the breadth of the gate is 3 cubits on this side, and 3 cubits on that side. The length of the porch is 20 cubits, and the breadth 11 cubits, and he brought me by the steps, whereby they went up to it, and there were pillars by the post on this side, one on this side and another on that side. Okay, that ends chapter 40. In chapter 43, verse 8, it said, and they're sitting up at the threshold by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. All right, that I just thought I'd bring that in because it has the word in it, defile. Now, we're not going to understand a whole lot of what I'm reading, but this is a vision of a new temple. And Viti Hollis made mention there at the end of this book of Ezekiel about Ezekiel 48. He's talking about when the Yahweh is there, and these are the glories out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And he says, verse 34, at the west side, 4,500. With there are three gates, one gate of Gad, the one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Yahweh is there. Now, Vidi Hala talks about it being a new city that is yet to be built. And a new temple, this is yet to be built. And it's going to be adjacent to the original land of Israel, in the original land of Israel with Jerusalem. So it's adjacent to the land. What he meant by that, I don't understand, but we'll go into that as much as we can a little bit later. Meanwhile, this brings us into verse 30. Shall you contact us at the 11th hour call? That's number 11. Click on audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. King is coming. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the street. All the bills, the fields of silence. No more corn to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease to labor in the courtroom of debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. For the king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway. Those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. We were crippled, broke and ruined, blood and John, the Scottish know. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of your trumpets shall be him this night long. Your robes are unfolding, heaven's grandstand saw in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled, taught to sing amazing grace. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. is heard, the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. For the King is coming, the King is coming. Face your face on him, for me.